Scripture reading for today is from Ephesians 4 to the end of the fourth chapter and verses in chapter 5 through 2. So then, putting away falsehoods, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger, and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, God, who is our rock and our redeemer. Amen. To be or not to be, that is the question. I'm not going to go into a Shakespeare rant, because normally I would if I would say something like that. But that's one of my favorite quotes. Can you guess which play that's from? Yes, Hamlet. Very good. Very good. Hamlet is one of the most quoted lines from Hamlet, to be or not to be, I think because it is very easy to remember. But it is also very philosophical, too. And it's something that I think that this morning that we hear in our scripture, but I have to unpack it a little bit for you. To be or not to be, to live one life or to live another life. Do I speak one way or do I speak in another way? Do I wake up and eat a dozen donuts or do I wake up and fix myself a veggie omelet? Crumpies is calling me rather than the omelet. And if you haven't experienced the Crumpies donut yet, you haven't lived. I think Jesus Christ blessed those Crumpies donuts. Anyway, we also ask, do I exercise or do I lay on the couch and binge watch my favorite Netflix or maybe my favorite television show? My favorite, do I go to church on Sunday, or do I sleep in? Do I reach out to my neighbor in need, or do I walk away from them? Do I live like Christ today in all that I am and do and all that I say, or do I do something else? To be or not to be, that is the question. All that we do and all that we are speaks God into others' lives. Last week, we talked about being a conduit for God, and our words and actions can bring peace, healing, love, comfort to someone, or it can take it away. It can bring pain, it can bring anger, or it can bring suffering. Our actions that we do every day help people find God and find love and experience God's grace and mercy. Or our words and actions can tear people away from their Creator, thinking those Christians are hypocrites. To be or not to be, that is the question. In the United Methodist Church, we call this being a witness. Witness is how we share the good news of Jesus Christ to one another and to the world. And it's in the ways that we speak and act to one another. It's how we live our lives. The thing is that no matter where we are and what we are doing, we are always living a witness to Jesus Christ once we have accepted him. But let's face it, sometimes we don't want to be that witness. We rather go off and do what we want to do. But being a witness is not about you. It is about others. We were put in this world to be in relationship with one another. We are put in this world to be in relationship with God. Don't believe me? Check out the first chapter of Genesis. It'll tell you right there. All that we are and all that we do and all that we say impacts the lives of others, and our words and our actions can bring people to God, or it can tear people away from God. Now, the first part of Paul's message, as our brother Jack read for us this morning, says to put away falsehood and speak truth. Now, I can tell you, when I was a child, I was pretty good at speaking falsehoods. How about you? Were you pretty good at speaking falsehoods? Never, right? Not at all. Many kids are. It's just the way they are. They find out how something is going, and they learn to tell a story in order to get what they want, or to perhaps do something, or succeed in something. There's a time in third grade where I had a big spelling test, and I didn't study the night before. And I know, Miss Valerie hears already. Well, I didn't study, but I had a bright idea. I could write the answers on my hand. But then I thought to myself, no, I can't write it on my hand. My hands will sweat when I'm playing at recess, and our spelling test is after recess, so that won't be too good. So instead, I was sitting there at lunchtime thinking, what can I do? I'm sitting there at lunchtime. My leg just happened to be crossed, and I was like, there's my ticket. I wrote my spelling words on my leg. I was wearing jeans, so it covered up the words. Oh, yeah, I was tricky, spreading falsehoods. Got to the test. Teacher spread our desks out so nobody would cheating off of each other. And I was pushed all the way up to the blackboard so I know nobody could see me cheating on this test. Now, I'm admitting this to you, all right? This is a part of confession here for me today. So I'm sitting there, and I cross my leg, pull up my ankle a little bit, start writing down the test answers. Felt no guilt whatsoever. Handed in my test. All proud of myself. Yeah, I got away with it. She'll never know, because I'm the good girl. I don't do anything bad. Well, later that day, she calls me up. Says, Suzanne, I need to speak with you. Pulls me out in the hallway and says, Suzanne, you did really good on your test. I was like, thank you. Thank you. Suzanne, I need you to spell a word for me. And right away, I was like, shoot. She named a word off the test, and I couldn't spell it. And I said, I'm sorry, Miss Stover. I cheated on the test. She's like, I know you did, because I know you didn't know how to spell those words. You see, not many people could spell those words, and it was a test to see if you studied or not, or to see what your behaviors are and your habits are. And she also said that one of my friends ratted me out. I'll never forget her name either. Miss Jennifer Johnson sat right diagonal from me, and she saw me lift up my ankle and check out the words. But the point is, I cheated, I falsified my answers, and I got caught. Whenever we cheat, we lie, we steal, we do something that is false, that is not truth, it will catch up with you. And that is what our brother Paul was telling us in Ephesians. He was saying that the truth can hurt, But a falsehood hurts more. Yes, it was hard for me to admit the truth, but it was harder to go up to my dad and say, I got a D on my test because I was grounded and I paid for it for about a year on that one. But anyway, spreading lies, cheating, gossip, rumors, they do nothing but hurt. And hurt is bad for our witness to Christ. It tears people from knowing who God is and the love that is out there for Jesus Christ. God calls us to speak the truth so that you know the truth. Now, if you don't know the whole truth, then for God's sake, literally, don't speak it. If it's a lie, don't share it. Don't try to know something that is not pure and true. We speak words of love and kindness and healing to our world because that is what God called us to do. We are to live a different way of life. We are not cheaters and sinners or gossipers. We are people of love. And what we do or say, we are called to speak in truth. We are called to speak in what heals. Now, that's the first thing that our passage tells us. The second thing that our passage tells us this morning is that it is not good to act out in anger. This is a pretty big one in that passage, and I don't know if you recognized it or not, but anger is addressed. And we established last week in our passages that people are annoying and they're going to irritate us and get on our nerves. But we are called to love them anyway. And in verse 26 through 27 in our scripture today, Paul says, "Be angry, but do not sin." It doesn't say that we should not get angry or that we won't be angry. It's saying when you feel like you want to wring somebody's neck, don't do it. Don't act out in anger. Don't allow your feelings to determine your actions. If someone is rude to you, the first feeling you may have is anger. If someone cuts you off on Route 15, the first thing you want to do is maybe flick them off and speed up and get on their tail belt and start being... No, that's not what we're called to do. We may want to act out that way, but in reality, we are Christians and we have the fruit of the Spirit inside of us. We have the fruit of self-control, and we can say no to ourselves and what we're feeling and say yes to what God wants us to do. It's hard to do, and it does take practice. I mean, the longer you walk with God, the easier it's going to get to fight against the enemy. But God wins in the end, no matter what. Don't act out of feeling. Act out of being a Christian. Paul tells us not to go to bed angry. Now, how many of you can do that? Nobody's hands. You are honest people. It's tough not to go to bed angry. But how many of you want to live a radically blessed life? I think all of us can agree with that. Amen? Amen. Absolutely. Well, then, if you want to live a radically blessed life, you need to stop being angry at people. We are not called to be mad. We are called to love. And it is hard. You don't have to stay mad or angry with somebody when you have God on your side. If you are angry, if you are experiencing hate, you can pull the God card. Call up the Holy Spirit to work inside of you and work in you to bring you and remind you of the fruit that you have been given. You can overcome anything. If you are born in Christ, you have the power to overcome. You can be peaceful all the time. It is a choice. You can choose to be angry or choose to be peaceful, to be or not to be. That is the question. What good is it going to be for you to go around grumpy and all angry at somebody when they're out there living their life and enjoying themselves? Anger changes you. And we all have anger inside of us. And there may be some people here that are angry at someone or something and how unfair it is, and it is eating you alive. But friends, that anger is something that we have to leave at the cross. A lot more people will know that they are loved by God and can be changed by God if they just leave it at the cross. Take that anger, pack it up into a suitcase, and just leave it up there. Don't pick it back up, because that is why our Christ came, to save us. Our God came to get in the middle of our mess and deliver us from our mess, and praise the Lord that he did. I couldn't do it either other way if it weren't for my Jesus. Rather than letting the world tear you down, rather than letting the news and TV and lies and the falsehoods tear you down, let us instead choose to build each other up. Yes, they may irritate us like sandpaper, but let us love anyway. We can live in love together if we choose to live in love and peace. Lastly, from our passage, we are told not to be a people who speak evil, and be a people who speak words of encouragement and build each other up. We are not called to be angry at other churches or angry at other communities. That is not what it means to be a follower of Christ. Speaking evil, speaking slander, speaking gossip, all that does is tear us apart. Quite frankly, I'm kind of confused with the white supremacy rally that's going on in D.C. right now. What the heck good is that going to do anybody? Absolutely nothing. So our denomination, along with many other denominations, are going down there today as a counteract to say, look, we love you. We want to show you love. And we want to acknowledge the love that is in each of us. And let us help you see that love and feel that love. Now, I pray that we are supporting of each other as we go down there, as some are going down today. Even if you are not going down, I pray that you are in prayer for it. You may not agree with everything that's going on, but we can agree to love each other. Why? Because that's what God called us to do. It's not easy being a Christian. When you signed up for this gig, you know what you were getting into. I don't take it lightly. I take it seriously. To love one another and to speak truth to one another. Caring for one another along the way, making sure that your brothers and sisters know they are loved. That is how we witness, and that is how we are to live our lives. Letting the community know that there is a place where they are loved. And thanks to our testimony this morning, we heard how one person and her family has been impacted by the love that has been here at Trinity, and how it is sharing the love with the community. We cannot separate ourselves from the world, and we cannot separate ourselves from each other. We have to live in relation with one another. So let's do so in love. Let's do things to make other people feel better. Paul says you can't keep acting like the world. He says that's the way you used to be. Now you are a new person in Christ. So you're going to be charged to act differently. You are now a new creature in Christ. If you have been baptized, you have been dressed in new garments, as Paul gives the analogy. So what kind of witness are you going to be for Jesus today? What have you done this week that showed Jesus to somebody else? What can you do this week to show Jesus to somebody else, to show love. Too many people are hesitant when it comes to living a new life in Christ because it's not easy. It's not the mainstream of thinking. We're not made of this world. We're called to be different. We're called to stand out. We're called to help people see Jesus in their lives and know that the love of God is available to them and that God's mercy and grace are for them, and we are going to live a life together in community. My hope is that each of us will take time to recognize where we are in our faith, where we are on our Christian journey, and how we are bringing love into this world. How are we living in love with one another? Will you live in love this week and spread the love of Jesus Christ everywhere you go and with everyone you meet? I pray you do. And with that, my brothers and sisters, all of God's children say, Amen. Amen.